And it's a children's program. We need every child here at 4 to get ready. And we always do this sort of a good tradition, I think, don't you? Amen. Let the children participate and have memories of one little boy asked me this morning, said, "Can I be a wise man?" And I said, "Well, you need to study a lot and learn, and you might wind up being a wise man." And then somebody poked fun at him and said, he's going to be an angel. And that sort of, you know, that didn't agree with me or him, either one. But anyway, men are the angels in heaven. On earth, it seemed like angels are women, but the angels are in heaven's men. They're masculine, amen. Sorry, ladies, you don't want to be one of them kind of people carrying a sword, wiping out thousands of people. You know, let the men do that, amen. All right, you can be seated. Robert's going to come, and y'all pray for Robert.
Jumping around to here and there. We went to a play at a church. We're talking about what Brother Butler said, and an angel came out, and she had long hair and looked all pretty and whatever. And then the narrator quoted the Bible and called Gabriel, and was like, "You don't look right." But yeah, angels are warriors, and so if anybody can want to cast me as an angel, I'll be an angel. I'm gonna bring my sword and whatnot, and so I ain't gonna have glittery makeup on or nothing like that. I'll have my warrior angel clothes on. All right, let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 2. We're gonna read verses 1-7 for right now. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come every Sunday, Lord, that we come and worship and celebrate you on the Lord's Day, Father. But this is a special time of the year, special season, Lord, that we just take special remembrance that you gave us your son to die on the cross so we could be saved. And Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you for that. I pray that you'll be with me with this message, Lord, and it'll just be you, Lord, to the people. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot more to the Christmas story than just his birth. It was a miraculous birth. It was the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We just read about how Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because he was the house and lineage of David, and how the governor said everybody's got to go, or the king said everybody's got to go back there. All this took place not because of the king, not because of Caesar Augustus, but because of the Lord. I think y'all probably heard me mention this before, but after Thanksgiving, we start reading all about the prophecies and everything. All these things have been prophesied. There's prophecy in Jeremiah and Hosea and Genesis and Psalms, all about the coming of the birth of Christ. So when Caesar Augustus said, We're gonna do a census, and I want everybody to go back to the city of their birth, their lineage. He's the one that gave the decree. He's the one that was king of the known world at the time. But the Bible says the heart of the king is in his hands. And it was God using the current government to fulfill his will that he'd already ordained. And so we see here that Joseph and Mary, they come to Bethlehem and Christ is born. And we as Americans and other Christians around the world, that we have a lot of holidays that we celebrate the day of. And those are good. The 4th of July, we celebrate our independence on July 4th. We remember our fallen on Memorial Day. We have days that we set aside. But Christmas is a little bit different. We start celebrating Christmas the day after Thanksgiving. Some people sooner, and that's all right. There ain't nothing wrong with when you start celebrating it, in my opinion. But the point is, we don't just take a day. I mean, there's a day on the calendar that says, this is Christmas Day. But it's a celebration of the birth of our King. And so we read here in the first few verses that Christ was born and how he got there. But like I said, it's a celebration. In verses 8 through 20, it continues on and says, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." We're going to pause here in this passage for a little bit. When we read here, we see an angelic announcement. This is no ordinary child. Born in a humble manger. We'll see a little play, if you will, or reenactment this evening. But the angels came out. If you think back, you go back into your history classes from high school or college and what have you, and when a king or a prince was born, it was a great celebration in the city. And announcements and heralds would all go out. But Christ had a heavenly announcement. The angels came out for the birth of this baby. So we see that Christ had an angelic announcement. And then following that, it was an angelic praise. Glory to God in the highest. Not glory to Caesar Augustus. Who's he? He's already an afterthought in our celebration. Glory to God in the highest. And why is that? Because in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." He's not just a prince who will become a king one day. Somebody to rule over and tax and... Maybe he's a good king. Maybe he's an oppressive king. But no. A Savior. which is Christ the Lord. And we see this shepherd's excitement. I've heard preachers say this a lot, but it's the truth. The first ones to know were the shepherds. It wasn't the lords and the dukes and the other kings. The first to know was the common man. The ones like you and I. That's who God chose to announce his son's birth to. Perhaps because if there were kings that had known sooner, I mean, through God's sovereignty, of course, Christ would have been spared. But if the angels had made the announcement to Herod, maybe Herod would have been swifter about executing all those babies. They didn't want to hear it. They wouldn't have wanted someone to threaten their power. The angels went to the common man, to the shepherds, the hard-working people. And then we find the shepherds when they're done, after they go to Christ and they see this babe, they spread the news abroad. They don't keep it within. They spread it abroad. And Mary pondered these things. If you go back, Genesis chapter 3, in the first mentioning, right after Adam and Eve sinned, and it talks about, I believe it's 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." I have a little note in my Bible here. That's 4004 B.C. The first mentioned promise of the Messiah. So God's people have been waiting 4,000 years for their Savior to come. There was an excitement. There was joy. Finally, at last. We've been oppressed by our sins. We've been in bondage by our sin. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He came to save us. But we also see Matthew chapter 2. We see the wise men. He didn't go to the kings first or the wise men first. He went to the shepherds. But his love is for all, rich and poor, middle class, what have you, whatever terminology you want to use today. But he did go to the affluent and to the rich. And he goes to the wise men. Matthew 2, 1 through 2 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." We pick up in verse 10. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh." These three gifts each have a significance. The gold, for he is a king. The frankincense, because he's a priest. And he himself would be offered up. Which leads into the myrrh, which was an embalming spice for his death. These were the gifts that the wise men gave to Christ that day. And so we celebrate Christ's birth. But that's when we celebrate. That's who we celebrate. But why do we celebrate? We touched on it already. When each one of us have had a children, we've celebrated the birth of our children. And year over year, we celebrate their birthday. We celebrate their life and what, Lord willing, they will grow up to be one day. We celebrate because at this time, the cross is still in the future. We celebrate because we see the whole picture. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate his death. We celebrate his birth because we see that he's going to die. But we also see that on the third day, he rises again. He conquers death. Why do we worship a baby? Matthew chapter 15. We're going to hop around just a little bit here. It'll all be fairly close to each other, though. 15, verse 29. I'm sorry, not 29, 24. 24 through 28. Apologize, this is not the verse I'm meant to be at. I'm just going to, that's not the scripture I meant to, I wrote a scripture down wrong, I apologize. I don't see it right here. I'll just tell you about it. We find, it's the passage I was looking, that I meant to write down, was when Christ was on the cross. And the Bible said that the two malefactors mocked him. The one on each side were mocking him. It said people were walking by, wagging their heads. He saved others, let him save himself. It said both malefactors mocked him on the cross that night. That should have been us. But now, let's go to Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at that same night, but from another author's perspective. Luke 23, 32. And it says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they were crucified. They crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the Matthew passage, both malefactors mocked Christ. In the Matthew passage, people were walking by, wagging their head. He saved others, let him save himself. They mocked him. And here we see the young babe, now grown up, who's now fulfilling God's will in his life to forgive us. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Verse 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same in the same condition? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. What changed? What changed? A few moments, half an hour, I don't know what the time span was, but that evening, that malefactor was mocking and cursing Christ to his face on the cross with him. What changed was, I believe, while all this mockery was taking place, being directed right at Christ himself, to his face, the one to his side looked at Christ and saw in his face, I believe, and with anger said, "Father, forgive him." As he's in excruciating pain after being brutally beat and whipped to the point where we can...
Jesus on said, he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me." Now, celebrate today. Much as long as you tell us, there is faith. That's so faith. You don't accept Christ's gift of salvation, the greatest gift, then you will die and spend eternity in hell, where the Bible says the worm dieth not. So we celebrate so much because we've been forgiven so much. We don't just take a day to celebrate. We celebrate for a month. Because my sin condemns me to eternity in hell. But his life frees me from that consequence of sin. How can I not celebrate? How can we not celebrate?
We
He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's coming back in King. The Jewish people reject Christ. The majority of them, not all, but the majority of them reject Christ. They want to pray Caesar of the day. But Christ came to overthrow a much greater evil force and power. And we already know God hatched full of Caesar or Augustus. He moved them according to Ludwig. He's nothing. He's a greater evil power that Christ came to destroy. He's going to come back. And he's going to take his people home. And not accept the Christ as your personal Savior. Well, put it on. I'm here to speak tomorrow. I was at the bank last week, and one of the ladies at the bank witnessed the lady die at a grocery store. She slipped and fell and hit her head. That was a week and a half ago, somewhere in that time frame. And what this lady was saying was, since that lady didn't go to the grocery store that day thinking she wasn't going to come home, she was shook up by what she saw, because there were two other people that all they could do was hold her hand while her life slipped away. No, none of us here came to church today thinking we wouldn't go home. And Lord willing, we all will go home. Lord willing, we'll all come back tonight. And we'll celebrate birth. But just like that lady didn't go to the grocery store thinking she wasn't coming home, she went to the grocery store to pick up some groceries to take home. She had a plan to return home. But she didn't. I'm not meaning to, and I'm closing it up. I'm not meaning to end on a downer, but I want us to understand the seriousness, the gravity of eternity, and how quickly it can come to us. You're not who can celebrate the birth of Christ. You celebrate His birth. The shepherds celebrated His birth because for 4,000 years they were waiting for their Savior to come. And He came. And they celebrated. And they didn't just keep it within themselves. They went out. And they shared it with all those around. It was a celebration. It was great. And that's why we celebrate Christ's birth. Because ultimately we knew it was going to be through His life that we could be saved from our sin.